We're here starting your day right with Marketing Espresso, your marketing caffeine hit of the day.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Marketing Espresso. Once again, thank you for lending me your ears. I don't know how old you all are or what kind of backgrounds you've got in terms of movies you grew up watching, but if I just said lend me your ears and your mind went to Robin Hood Men in Tights and that scene, then please reach out and tell me that you know what I'm talking about. Oh dear. And that is how we start today's episode. Also, if you haven't seen that movie and you like comedy, it's a good comedy. Okay. I highly recommend having a laugh, watching it. I don't even know if it's on any of the streaming services. If someone could search that for me, because I think I'm going to watch it again myself soon. Anyway, into today's episode, because I'm really excited, we have a guest back that is... Oh, the last episode was just fantastic. And I'm so excited to be chatting with him again. And I feel so honored that he's come back on the show to give us some more of his insights. He is a research, you know, just an absolute research gun. He is the king of empathy. Let's call him that. Okay. He is an expert in empathy. He's got so much knowledge to give us. And I think that if you love this episode, I'd love you to reach out to me or Rob. And that is who we've got back on the show, Rob Volpe. So Rob Volpe is an astute observer of life and a master storyteller who brings empathy and compassion to the human experience. As the CEO of Ignite 360, he leads a team of insight, strategy and creative professionals serving the world's leading brands across a range of industries. He is the author of Tell Me More About That, Solving the Empathy Crisis One Conversation at a Time. As a thought leader in the role of empathy in marketing in the workplace, he is a contributor to Entrepreneurs Leadership Network and frequently speaks on the topic at conferences, corporations, on podcasts, and with the media. He also lives in, and I said this last time, but it is one of my favorite cities in the US. I loved it when I visit. So he lives in San Fran with his husband and three cats, and I'm so excited to have him back on the show. Welcome, Rob. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so good to be back.
So you promised us on last episode, you shouldn't have slipped this in because of course I wrote it down. You said that you would help us with our asking why. One of the things I talk to many business owners about is, are you asking your customers any questions or are we just like, yes, we've got customers, but and then we forget to ask them why they buy from us or why they use our services or what kind of experience they're having. And then because our customers give us ideas of where our other customers could be and things that we could do better or, you know, things that we're not doing that great. And so I thought today we'd get you back on to talk to us about this. Ask why.
Thank you. It's so critical. And I learned about the power of not using the word why when I was trained to moderate a long time ago. And so, you know, by way of background, I run a consumer insights firm. So we ask people questions for a living. But one of the questions we rarely ask is why, even though what we need to understand is why people are doing what they're doing. And a great example of that. So Beck, I guess if you were going to open a shop, what type of a shop would you want to open? Let's have some fun.
I reckon a pet shop. Not selling pets, but like selling like cool accessories for pets.
Styles, pet accessories. My husband has long been interested in design. We have three cats, and my husband's long been interested in designing really cool urban, you know, urban appropriate pet cat and especially cat accessories.
Look, I can get behind that. I think that's a fantastic idea.
There's just cat owners. There's a lot of misconception about cat owners. And as gay cat dads, we're like, no, we're not the little old ladies with the houses that just, you know, with fur everywhere. That's not who we are. We want make stuff for us. So we can come to Beck's Fish and Fin and get some great, thank you. Okay, you've created this, you've got this lovely shop. And I come in and, you know, it's your opening week and you want to understand what brought me in. So what's a question that you might ask me?
For me, being a marketer, the first thing I would probably ask is, so how did you find us?
Right. Now, what if I had asked you instead? So which is a great question, because what you're effectively asking is, why are you here? Right? And because that's what people want to know. Like, yeah. Why are you here? How did you find out about us? And when you ask that question, why, what ends up happening is you get put on the defensive. So all of a sudden it's like, I don't know, why am I here? What led me here? Why? And the thing that I learned when I was moderating and going through moderator training, you know, think back to when you were a kid. I'm going to ask you something that you did that maybe got you into trouble with your parents. And I will share that I accidentally closed the car door on my sister's hand.
Was it accidental?
Yes, because I didn't see her. She was like trying to get in. I was like 11. She was 7.
Look, I had to ask. Sibling rivalry is a real thing.
Well, there is that. There is that. She made it through. She's all fine. No broken bones, just some bruises. But the question that I got asked was, why did you close the door on your sister's hand? And now, I mean, before I talk more about that, what was something you did that you got in trouble for?
So my brother and I were playing with like little matchbox cars. And I threw one at the light and broke the light fitting.
And so what did your parents ask you when they discovered that the light fitting was broken?
Well, I mean, they were pretty cranky to begin with. But then they were finally like, why did you do that?
Exactly. And when you get asked that question, why, from the time that we're, you know, toddlers, yay high, you end up getting put on the defensive. And you probably in that situation, there was a little, you know.
No, I blame my brother.
Thank you. And I couldn't, I couldn't see my sister at the time. I didn't know she was there. I couldn't see her little bony hand reaching in. So, but I got to sit in the front seat with my dad and get a talking to while we drove the rest of the way. I think we were going to Disney World or something.
Well, so you still got shotgun then.
Shotgun out of it. But yeah. So, but the thing is it puts you on the defensive and you end up having to rationalize or excuse. You pointed the finger at your brother, as many people will do, not just your brother, but just generally brothers everywhere or sisters or, you know, imaginary friends. And so you're not giving an honest answer and you're put in a really uncomfortable place. And then you start going to school and you start getting questions at school. Why were you late for class? Why did you, you know, fail that test? Why? Like all the different whys in your school. Why do you want to break up with me? It starts to creep into your personal life. Why aren't you my friend anymore?
Why don't you love me?
Why don't you love me? Why did we hang out together? And you've still got your parents like yelling at you. Why did you now, whatever the thing was, you did it as a teenager. And so again, just constantly on the defensive. And then you get into the work space. What happens there? Why? Why are we late with that report? Why didn't you hit your sales goal? Why are our numbers off? Why did you decide to go with that color on the packaging or the, you know, why did you go with that voiceover talent on the ad? All sorts of like, why? And you're put on the defensive, having to defend yourself, which is like, you know, and I keep doing it physically. Like I lean back when I'm not leaning in, I'm leaning back when that's happening because I feel like I'm getting attacked. So if you ask those questions in a different way, you still want to understand why, you need to understand why. But if you can reframe the question, and this is a great exercise, I think all of the listeners, I would encourage them, challenge them even, to try it for yourself for a day and see what that's like, and then bring it to your team and challenge your team for a day, or maybe, you know, stretch it out to 2-3 days to take why out of your vocabulary. Use who, where, what, how to ask, when to ask those important questions to get at the why. And you'll be surprised when you start to do that, how much people are going to open up and how much they're going to share because they're not being challenged. They're not on the defensive. You're just inquiring. You know, so what was going on when you were working on that report? It ended up being a little late. What, you know, how can I help you?
Yeah, I love that.
How can I do this or that? Like, tell me about your choices for when you were casting and ended up going with this particular talent. You know, there's so many different ways to reframe questions. And it's hard because we're so instinctively used to the why and asking it just as a why. But to actually instead use these other words, and it comes out in a very different way.
Because it's interesting, when you're asking it, you don't even feel like you're asking it as an accusation all the time.
No.
But actually, as the receiver, you're right. Like, instantly you're like, oh, stop accusing me. Like, I've done, you know, and instantly you're like, I've done nothing wrong. Like, and go on that kind of, you're right, go on the defensive. It's really, yeah. But as the asker, like, I just innocently asked why.
Absolutely. And so we're back at Beck's Fish and Fin. And, you know, you asked me, so how did you find out about the shop? And I'd say, oh, yeah, I was on Instagram and I was scrolling through cat pictures and I saw your ad that came up. And of course, we was in the neighborhood and decided to drop in. And then you'd ask another question, and it's always trying to then reframe it so that you're not using the word why, even though why is what you're trying to get at.
And I think we can give some really good relationship advice here too, because if we stop asking our partners why so much, I think that will change. Because look, communication, whether it be in a relationship, whether it be between a boss and a staff member, whether it between like any colleague or, you know, you and a consumer, communication, I think, is the one thing that we all think we're really great at communicating. But the truth is, there's so much said in language other than the words we're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And we need to bring that awareness and mindfulness to that. And it's not, you know, I know some people are like, oh my God, and now I've got to be empathetic because I just listened to the last episode and all these other things. You know, people want to work remotely. I want them back in the office, and there's still, you know, the flu going around and all the other crazy things. So it's not, it's one of those little things that you want to just plant it into your mind and start to bring awareness to it as you're going through. And that's why that exercise of like, just challenge yourself for a day, have fun with it. You know, if you need to have a why jar, like a swear jar where you put some money into it, you know, have fun with your team on it as well. It makes it easier to actually have that awareness and to change and reinforce good behavior or different behavior.
And it becomes a habit eventually. Like, we know that it takes 28 days to form a habit, I believe. So yeah, you got to start somewhere. And I think even with the empathy thing, it's not about having to do it. It's about this great ability that we can do it. Like, I think if we think of it as a chore, we've already kind of come at it from behind, right? And it's, I know, like, we all think we have, well, we all do have big to-do lists. And you and I were talking about this before we started recording about, you know, there is so much to do, and years are short, but life is long. Is like, we always say life is short, but actually life is long. We don't have to do everything today. We don't have to do everything this year. So when our to-do lists are packed and to-do lists become more important than focusing on good communication or putting 10% more effort into our being mindful of what we're saying or being empathetic, I think we're kind of going to fall behind on those to-do lists anyway, because we'll become more efficient in everything if we become more mindful of these things, because you can form better relationships too.
And when you've got better relationships, whether it's with your colleagues or with vendors or with customers or clients or consumers, the business is going to do better.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have employees that feel more engaged, and there are studies that show that there is a higher sense of engagement. There's more loyalty. 90% of Gen Z said they're more likely to stay at an empathetic employer company. You know, it's evident. Like, you need to practice this stuff, but you have to have the courage to try and the forgiveness, the grace with yourself that, like, you're not going to get it right all the time. And I'm the first to admit, like, I can be judgmental with the best of them. I can ask the question why sometimes, and I shouldn't, but sometimes it slips out. And it's okay. I have to forgive myself and go, wait, nope, stop, do it differently. Or in hindsight, recognize, how might I have approached this in a better way and do better the next time? It's a continual evolution over those many, many years of work and life and everything. And I think I hope people get off of the hamster wheel. And I think the pandemic stopped the hamster wheel for many of us. And so it's not always got to be go, 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 go. Let's measure productivity in different ways. And I think that's about your sense of contribution, and the things that you are able to reasonably achieve, both at work and in your personal life.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's a really important takeaway, Rob. And I think, look, this episode, actually, I think we should call a relationship episode because maybe we've just made people's relationships 90% better. I don't know.
Well, and that's the thing, like these skills that you bring to work, you bring home. And yeah, they're, you know, it's not like, oh, I'm work robot. It's not Westworld where there's like the work host and then you're the personal human over here. You're all one person and you use these skills throughout. So the communication skills that you practice at work, you may actually be practicing at home. Yeah. If you're not, I would actually question it if somebody really was like, oh yeah, I'm really tough at work, but then, oh yeah, I'm a softie at home. And I just, you know, it's like, I kind of don't know that that's the case.
I think it has been a nice shift that people are more themselves at work now. I think people feel more comfortable because we've had this when you're on Zooms, as we joked about last episode, you know, you had the cat or the dog or like, I know I went live once and had Alfie just losing it in the background the whole time. And I'm like, I can't turn around and yell at him because I'll look like a psycho, right? But everyone's had that insight into my life that they wouldn't have had if I was going to an office. So I think we've actually gotten to know people on a deeper level, whether they like it or not, because we've seen their homes, you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I don't care for it. A, when clients or others keep their cameras off, but even when they put those fake backgrounds on.
I'm the same, to be honest.
I want to see what's there. Fine, your bed's not made. Who cares? It doesn't matter. I'm good with that. I appreciate your opening up and sharing. But there's so much programming that has to be undone, recoded, and shifted so that we can show up more holistically as ourselves. And I think the other piece to it too, and one of the things we're seeing here in the US on some of our diversity, inclusion, belonging projects that we work on, the focus has been on underrepresented communities and populations, and very important and have to do that. But we can't forget the other communities as well. It can't just all be, you know, politically left-leaning groups. We need to, you know, if somebody is conservative, religiously conservative in their political views, they have every right to be heard and they should feel that they are included and belong as well. So it's like, how do we use our skills to all show up together? And with empathy, you can hopefully have more understanding with each other and ask the good questions and not say, why do you feel that way? Just say, oh, tell me more about your position on that. And just listen from a place of unconditional positive regard for the other person.
I love that. Unconditional positive regard. I'm going to put that on my wall. That's really cool.
Thank you. It's a good one. That's another tip from moderating training that I learned.
Yeah. Cool.
Always have positive regard for, you know, we're all humans.
Yeah.
We're all on this planet. Everybody has a story. We all deserve to be heard and to be seen. And you can do that by how you show up and how you engage and interact with other people.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, Rob, you've given us so many little nuggets again. I think for me, the key takeaway for anyone listening, I mean, there's so many, but I think the one is self-compassion as well. So take on this project of how to ask why without asking why, but be compassionate to yourself. So if you do slip up, it's fine. I think there's also this great thing about self-reflection, right? When we actually don't do as well as we wish we had have, that gives us an opportunity to learn and say, I'm reflective enough on my actions and the things that I do every day that I actually picked up that I asked the question why, and I actually really upset that person, or I could see that they, you know, got their back up or whatever it is. But there's that amazing ability then to also harness that self-reflection muscle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. I love how you summed that up.
Rob, thank you so much for joining us again. It's amazing. I love our conversations. There's going to be so many more of them, I can tell.
I look forward to it. I can't wait.
Awesome. Well, you enjoy. I think it's night there, right?
Yes, the sun is to the west. It's heading your way, sort of.
Well, enjoy your evening and we will talk soon.
Awesome, Beck. Thank you. You too.